commencing countdown. T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
What an incredible smell you've done.
Dear Lord Jesus, this ain't happening, man. This can't be happening, man. This ain't happening.
Inconceivable!
Autobots, transform!
Welcome to Skiffy and Fanny Show, episode number 21.
Defending the world against the Overlord Xenu and his minions, even when people don't pay us, because we're decent fracking human beings.
I'm Sean.
And I'm Jen.
And we have a impromptu switch up of things this week, because our planned interview for this week, unfortunately, could not record at the time we had hoped to set it up. So we're now shifting our main segment from the week that would have come next week over, which we'll get to in a minute. But for now, we're going to go into news.
News,
which is full of bullcrap.
Well, not, that's just mean to the news.
Okay, well, it's at least 50% bullcrap.
All right. Yeah. First one bullcrap?
Yeah, it's total bullcrap. Look, they announced the Nobel Prize for Literature. It goes to Mario Vargas Llosa. I mean, he at least wrote some books that some people read, so...
But not me.
I haven't read any of his books. I might own one, but I can't find it, so I don't know if I really own it. I mean, I looked at his page, you know, and I don't know who he is, really, but at least he's written some, like, significant literature, and it seems like a lot of people have read his work, so good for him that he won it. That maybe makes the Nobel Prize worth at least a dollar now, so he might be able to hawk it off on eBay for something and actually pay the fee.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, what do you... Well, you just
doesn't
get
he win money, too?
Yeah, you get a check.
Oh, well, then
but it's fine. Like, it's in, like Chinese dollars, so...
You know, those are, you know, more valuable than the American dollar right now, right?
Not the Chinese yen. Japanese yen, excuse me, that was the... Japanese yen, it's like 100 yen to $1, so...
Oh, that's pretty sad.
You know, so really, a million yen is not that much. And it's not even real yen. It's like the yen that they, like, keep for the people that they've secluded on the islands.
Right.
Like, all the indigenous people, the Ainu and stuff. Yeah, like, it's their yen. So it's even worth less. It's like 10 million to one. So really, it's, like, worth negative dollars.
Are you done whining about the Nobel Prize for Literature yet?
Yeah. I'm not really whining. I'm just making fun of the dollar. At least it's not this bad this year. Last year's was awful, because who the hell was this woman that they picked? I don't know who she was. At least this year, like, at least three people have read this guy's books, so... And that aren't on the committee.
I don't actually pay any attention to the Nobel Prizes, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of pointless. But anyway, so that's that. Yay for Llosa. Woo! Yay! You're gonna be the richest Peruvian ever! Yay! Ethnocentric much. Yay. I am.
All right.
Moving
news
on.
News number two.
Which is awesome. Go, Jen. Go.
Go, Jen. All right. So next up we have Orbit. Yay.
Yay.
They've launched a new program. If you've got an ebook reader, which I don't have. So
I
this
do.
Is actually totally relevant to me, but it is relevant to those who do have one like Duke. Right.
Like me, because I'm better than you. So.
So their new thing is that they are going to be releasing special ebook deals once a month, and the deal only lasts a month, but during that deal, there's like 2-for-1 and digital box sets and big discounts on their publications.
Which they say are the best science fiction, fantasy, and urban fantasy in the known universe.
In the known universe!
That's a lofty claim.
It is a lofty claim. But as I said, it only lasts a month, at which point they come and they take it away.
The deal or the book?
The book.
Wait, what?
I'm just kidding. I'm
totally my God. I was going to say.
The deal goes away. Although it would have been cooler if they actually came and, like, took the book away from you. Cause
after you paid half price
very,
for it?
Very dystopian, you know.
Yeah, well, that's Amazon. That's what Amazon does.
Exactly. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's good news, and, you know, that's fun, good stuff, and Orbit is pretty good, and although I imagine they're leaving out the poor folks that live on Gliese 581G, but, you know, whatever.
Probably. Those poor people.
ethnocentric.
Planet-centric.
Planet-centric. Well, we don't have a word for that yet. Anyway, last bit of news is actually related to something that Steven Spielberg didn't come up with, although the article says that they did, which is not true. It was Philip K. Dick who came up with the idea of pre-crime. Well, that is now becoming almost kind of a reality, although not in the sense that Spielberg tried to put in Minority Report or that Philip K. Dick did in the story of the same name.
In an actual legal criminal sense.
Yeah, it's instead, this is going to be a company called Social Intelligence that is going to data mine the internet, your social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Flickr, YouTube, LinkedIn, blogs, wherever you are present on the internet. It is going to mine for all of your information and put that into categories of what it's assuming are going to be predictive factors for whether you will be a good employee.
Yep.
And then send them to employers that
if
purchase
they pay for
the,
them.
If they pay for the service, so that the employers can decide whether or not you'd be a good employee.
Mm-hmm.
I seriously question whether or not they actually have any scientific proof that any of these things that they say are indicators are actually indicators, or whether or not...
Oh, I doubt it.
If they're, yeah, because see, this is my problem. Is this an issue of causality or of correlation? Because if we're talking that they're, if they're suggesting that these features that they're saying are actual predictive models for whether people will be good employees, whether they're prone to violent behavior, et cetera, whatever that is, or whether they're saying that there's a correlation between these features and people who do those things. Because if they're saying the latter, everything they say is bullcrap because you can't use that as a basis because it's not the same. Causality and correlation are not the same thing. But if they're saying that this is causality, then they have a huge burden of proof to make.
They do. And that's actually what's interesting is that companies are going to have to decide whether or not that this information that they're being provided, and it's actually going to be on a real-time basis so that once you hire an employee, you can still be getting this. So it's not just, you know, a pre-hiring screening tool. It's while you are employed at that company, they will be tracking what you are doing on social networks and on the interwebs. So that if something pops up, it automatically gets sent to your boss by the company, and they can decide whether or not that's a reason viable of firing you and then facing a wrongful termination suit. If they actually believe that this crap is true and that this will be viable data, then they will have to then defend that data in court.
Not to mention, they're going to have to defend it against basically what amounts to stalking.
Stalking,
internet
privacy
stalking.
Rights. Yeah, like, oh, totally.
Like, I understand it's the internet and that when you're on Facebook and whatever, like, if you have a public profile, you're giving that information away. But I don't think that gives a company a right to then basically stalk you everywhere. That's like a company. This is the equivalent of a company putting somebody, like a private detective, who isn't really a detective because he's just following you around everywhere you go.
Right.
You know, and I'm sorry, but if a company did that to me, I would sue them.
Oh, I would sue them in a second.
Because you'd have no right to do that unless I sign off and say you have the right to do that. And that's what this is. It's just the difference is it's the internet, but it's the same thing. And this is really
and
a scary precedent.
There's actually multiple companies that are using the interwebs to predict future behavior. There's a company called Recorded Future, which is funded by both the Google and the CIA, that they supposedly can predict future events and activities by companies and individual people. Then you have the fact that Google actually has a search algorithm that goes through their personnel records and can predict which of its employees are most likely to quit. I mean, it's not like this is that far off base. I mean, I could see this being possible. The problem comes when companies start using it to predict your future behavior and then, you know, not criminalize it, but punish you for that behavior. So you could theoretically not get the raises that you were expecting, even if you're a stellar employee, but you're bitching about the company online, which is your right to do. If you're telling your friends that you hate working for whoever you're working for, but even if it's not connected, like your page doesn't say who you're working for, you could still get punished for that.
Yeah, and I have a big problem with that.
Oh, huge problem. Ugh.
I'm trying to wonder, like, would this be the same thing? I mean, Because you could think like a Facebook thread would be similar to being at a dinner table with friends at like Chili's or something.
Right.
You know, and so should a company fire you because somebody you hire? I'm just like, I'm really uncomfortable with all of this. I understand if it to a certain extent. I mean, there are certainly things you can tell from the internet. If somebody is saying, you know, I hate teaching and I hate this job and I don't like working in this field, it's all evil, blah, 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 and then they apply for a job, like, I can understand, like, why would I want to hire you? You've publicly declared that you don't even like this field.
Right.
But this is just, it's just really I don't like it.
It's disturbing. It's a little bit dystopic and I don't like that.
It's probably run by Scientologists.
Probably.
Yeah. Which I'm going to use that as our basic segue. since Tom Cruise, of course, was in Minority Report, and that's the future that L. Ron Hubbard wants for us all, but with creepier precogs.
Yeah,
they'll
sure.
be like albino alien monkeys with tails coming out of their foreheads. This brings us back to our segue. It's just going to go into our torture cinema this week. Which we're moving forward because we have to. So we're going to go to our music, which is going to be
just
pornographic.
Just as porny as always, yeah.
Yeah, just basically the same as always. Although it'll seem Scientology-ish now.
Right.
Just chant Xenu to yourself through it. Xenu.
Dork.
All right. We'll be right back. Xenu! And we're back with Torture Cinema. This week, we're actually going over Battlefield Earth because, as we've mentioned so far the show, we had to move things forward. And unfortunately, we couldn't get to the movie we had planned for this version, which was Creep. We couldn't get that. Both of us couldn't get it quick enough. So, basically, we're now going to switch it to another movie, which has been on our list, and we figure it's one that maybe at least three people want to hear about. So this week, we're talking about Battlefield Earth.
A saga of the year 3000. You need to throw that in there because it's very important.
We're talking about Battlefield Earth, a saga of the year 3000.
Thank you. You may continue.
All we need is the guy from the previous crap movie that we watched to do the reciting. Because there is an opening scroll in this movie.
You know what's funny? Is like, I keep trying to think of the name of that movie. Don't tell me. And I can't freaking remember it.
I can't. The Guyver.
I totally. The Guyver. Oh, God. It still puts me into a near coma. Like, my brain just kind of shuts down. My frontal lobe just kind of goes...
Okay, well, that's not what we're talking about. We were talking about a different movie. We're talking about Battlefield Earth. Pretty much everybody who's listening is probably knows this movie. You've probably even seen it. And we're really sorry that you had to watch this movie.
I actually watched this movie in theaters when it first came out.
Oh.
I know.
Were you like your husband? Did you like it when you were 12?
No.
You weren't 12 when this came out.
So. I was very curious about what kind of crap the Scientologists were spewing.
this.
Giant screen. And this is what it was. It was hilarious.
I think you should describe the plot since I think I took it last time.
I don't even know what the plot is.
Okay, do you want me to do it then?
No, I'll tell about the plot. All right, so the basic plot line is that it's 1,000 years in the future. Year 3000, and the Earth has been ruled for 1,000 years by Cyclos, who are these really tall, brutish creatures who are obsessed with business. And have dreadlocks. Well, some of them have dreadlocks. Some of them have just... I don't know. Anywhere.
They don't shower.
And man, people... animals are used. They're like a dying humanity is dying off. There's very few of them left. Some of them do survive in, you know, outlying fringe areas, but radiation is making it so that they can't breed, and the cyclos use them in where they live for manual labor. Right. Okay, so then you have John Travolta as the security chief of Earth. And he's been condemned to stay on Earth forever and ever and ever because he had some sex with a senator's daughter or something.
I don't think sex. I think he had just had, like,
it was
some
an
sort
incident.
Of dialogue with tongues or something. I don't know. I'm not sure they have sex.
So, yeah, so they decided that they're going to use humans to mine gold in radioactive areas because they can't go to these radioactive areas because it reacts with what they breathe or something.
Well, not they, just John Travolta and his, like, second in command. Well, yeah, they're doing it because they want to get rich.
Right.
And they figure since he can't get off of the planet any other way, he's going to do it that way.
He's going to get rich and then buy his way off or something. Yeah. So he uses this guy who is, you know, he's called Green Boy. Played by Barry Pepper or Greener or something, who has come out of the mountains and he's trying to find a better life for his people. And then he gets kidnapped by the aliens. And then the aliens use him, teach him how to mine, and him and a couple other people.
Right,
and
because he's resourceful. They say that he's resourceful.
Right. He's somehow more intelligent than the other man animals. So they plot, the people, the humans plot to overtake the Cyclos and destroy their planet and blah blah blah, and yay, that's pretty much the plot.
Yeah
sounds
at least semi okay when you say it that way.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was it. I mean,
yeah,
it was
basically
it.
There's like a romance interest and
but that's all really unimportant.
Lots of plot holes.
Lots
of plot holes,
more than I've seen in a long time.
Lots of, like,
even that last movie that we watched that I forget the name of.
The Guyver.
Shut, damn it. Stop reminding me. Seriously, I'm trying to black it out. Even the Guyver had fewer plot holes than this.
Yeah, no. And to be fair, most of the time when we think they're plot holes in this movie, they're not really plot holes. They're just things that don't make any logical sense.
Right.
But we won't get into that because most of that is a part of our 5x5s, or at least mine.
Well, that's good.
So maybe we should just dive into the 5x5s, our 5 likes, our 5 dislikes of the movie, because this movie's awful.
Awful.
Although, I'm going to be fair, it is not as bad as The Guyver.
It's not. Although, like I said, it has more plot holes, but somehow it's still a better movie. I'm not even sure why.
I think it's because it's awful, the acting is not as bad.
Yeah, it really was.
It's bad, but it's not as bad.
Yeah, it wasn't painfully bad. I don't know.
Well,
somehow
some of it was painfully bad, but some of it was like,
it was
all right, I buy it, whatever.
Right. Okay, so are we starting with likes or dislikes this week?
Likes.
All right, are you going first?
All right, I'll go first, because most of my likes are really just, they're meaningless. My first is the visuals. Like
the visuals?
The computer animated stuff. I mean, it's an older film, so I mean, it's not as good as now, but computer animated stuff was nice. It looked good. The scenery was nice. There's a lot of falling around and really pretty green bushes, which I like. And so that's it.
Shut up. It wasn't that great. I'm just saying.
Shut up, okay? I'm fishing for things to really like.
I know. Okay. He's saying that
visuals,
it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really wasn't. It was pretty cheap. I mean, I'm not sure
when it was made. It was made in like 99 or 98, wasn't it?
It was made in 2000. And I just want to say that in 1996, Independence Day came out, and it had better freaking graphics.
But Independence Day has Will Smith in it.
It doesn't matter. 4 years earlier, and they still managed to do a way better job than this movie even came close to doing.
I think so. I think, yeah, no. No.
Ugh. No, it was terrible.
I can see the lines.
Like, the points when Greener, or whatever his name is, like, is flying, like, all the flying scenes, like, oh, when the part when John Travolta holds the guy over the cliff and then drops him, complete crap. It looked like something done in the 60s.
But he holds him over a cliff and drops somebody over a cliff?
Yeah, you missed that part? You must have fallen asleep.
I think I fell asleep. Is there, like, an extended edition that I'm not aware of?
No,
there might be like a final cut.
Who knows? It was pretty bad. And then all the flying scenes, you know, it's like when they're doing their, I don't know, their green screen usage was pretty awful.
I disagree.
Okay. Well, we're going to mine.
Yeah. What is your next like?
Okay. Mine is actually one of the plot holes.
okay.
Just one of them though, because I was somehow really struck by this. Okay. So Greener is taught through this, you know, like, machine thingy that, like, feeds him information. He's taught the Cyclos language and mathematics and art and all this other stuff, right?
Yeah.
So what cracked me up about it though, was that one of the things he learns is Euclidean geometry.
Yes. Yes. From the cyclos, by the way. From the cyclos. The cyclos. They wouldn't have called it Euclidean geometry.
Right, of course not. But I just was like, oh, that's awesome. Apparently it's totally universal. And he even says something about it. It's universal language.
Yeah.
Yes. As it's so universal that Euclidean actually invented it on cyclo too.
And remember, this is after the scene when he's written down all these really crazy complex equations with, like, Greek letters.
Right,
everyone around, all the other guys are like, have you lost your mind? Like, what the hell does this mean? And he's like, look, I'm going to tell you side,
you Euclidean geometry. And you're going, what? All right. So connected to that was the fact that even though the cyclos don't speak any English, and by the way, this is supposed to be taking place 1,000 years in the future, and, you know, they still speak English. Okay, so even though the cyclos can't speak English, he somehow also learns through the cyclos how to read English, which I was like, that's pimp. The cyclos apparently are so magical that they can teach people English and Euclidean geometry.
They are. It makes sense.
It's magic.
It's magic.
Scientological magic.
They're like goblin elves. Okay.
All right. So I like that. Some of the potholes I was actually going, that's awesome.
All right. Your first dislike then.
My first dislike was the cinematography.
Ah. Whatever.
The freaking Dutch angles and the Star Wars style PowerPoint cutscene things.
Shut up. Don't mess with those.
No, okay, no.
At least there was
no. They should have had that.
It's not
a
comic book.
It was almost as bad as the Guyver cutscenes. It, like, really... Okay, props to Star Wars for using it. At least it's heavily used. Is it used in all the movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Like, for whatever reason, I remember it most in Return of the Jedi. So, anyway. So, yeah, they have these, like... It literally looks almost identical to what is used in Star Wars. It even has that, like, bluish glow as the screen splits and it goes to another... Oh my God, it was painful. It was like a really, really, really bad PowerPoint presentation. And I was just like, please just shoot me now. And then the Dutch angles. Do you know what a Dutch angle is?
No, I don't care.
Okay. You know, every part when like they're somehow shifted sideways and you have to like turn your head to watch the movie instead of it being parallel, it's like at a diagonal, the camera.
No,
you didn't notice that?
That doesn't bother me.
How does that not bother you? It was freaking constant. And used poorly. It was like the most point. Dutch angles are supposed to like, you know, show tension or something. There was no tension. It was just crap.
Maybe I didn't notice it because I was laying down while I watched it. So everything just looks straight to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Okay. My first dislike then is John Travolta.
Oh.
Okay. Like, I don't understand, what is his accent supposed to be?
Douche?
Like, I love John Travolta when he plays bad guys, because he's just evil. He's really good at being just evil, and you just don't like him. But he is awful in this movie. He is on par with Matthew Lillard in The Name of the King.
Totally.
They're the exact same, only one of them had a career, and the other one never did. So.
That's true.
But they act
the Actors
same
Anonymous.
Way.
I don't know. It was bad. John Travolta was terrible in this movie. And what's more terrible is the fact that he's basically the reason the freaking movie was made.
Yep.
So apparently what's hilarious about this is that when he originally wanted to make the movie in like 1983 or something, right after the book came out. And he wanted to play the human. But by the time it actually got made, he was too old to play the human kid guy, because you had to be young and virile, and he's not. So he decided he was going to play the alien, and yeah, he was ridiculous.
Awful. Yeah, he just needs to stay to playing fat chicks in musicals from now on.
After that movie, I was like, John Travolta should never come back to movies, seriously.
He did good in Hairspray.
Yes.
That's why I said he should just go back to playing fat chicks in musicals.
Yeah, but he did do that after. But when I saw the movie originally in 2000, because I'm an idiot, I was like, dude, John, just kill yourself. please do the world a favor.
All right. Go. All right. Now your next like.
My next like were the freaking Harriers. Booyah.
Yeah, Harrier Jets.
It was awesome.
Take down the alien race and freaking Harriers. Not F-22s. Not
right. No. It's got to be freaking Harriers. Probably one of the most complicated jets to fly, too. But anyway, yeah. That's beside the point. Seriously, yeah. Though, Harriers. 1,000 years in the future, and they have freaking Harriers. So I loved it just because, well, one, because they're Harriers. And two, it was probably the only cool thing about the entire movie.
And, you know,
I mean, when they first show up, you're just like, yeah!
But you got to remember, it's another plot hole.
Oh, I know it is.
Because how are they still working after 1,000 years?
Shh.
Okay. That's, yep. Shh. Okay.
But they're still freaking Harriers in the movie, and they kick ass.
All right, well, my next like, because I agree with you, is actually Kim Coates.
Totally.
He always plays the same kind of guy. He's kind of like the weird nutty guy that's slightly nuts and crazy. He was in The Island, and he played a semi-normal person, although he was kind of like...
Oh, who was he in The Island?
He was the guy who was like the PR public relations guy for the company.
Oh, well, see, like the first time I ever remember like specifically seeing him was Waterworld when he plays the drifter who like wants to have sex with the girl.
Yeah.
And he was so amazing. That was the best part of that movie. So like I've been like, you know, kind of watching him since then. And then for whatever reason he was in this movie, which I totally didn't remember until last night. But I watch him in the show Sons of Anarchy, and he is so good. He is an incredibly talented actor, and he actually was probably one of the few people who did well in this film.
Yeah, he should have just been the hero.
Totally. And since this is actually my number four like, I'm gonna skip ahead of it. Kim Coates was part of my number four likes.
So we have an agreement then on that one. Okay, good.
Yes, totally. And so. I'll tell my other number four like when we get to it. So.
No, you don't need to have another one. We just won't.
No, because I had two parts of my number four.
Oh, okay.
So we'll skip to it. Where are
then,
we?
Your second dislike.
Oh, okay, yeah. The giantest plot hole of the entire film. Ridiculous expectations of contemporary technology lasting 1,000 years. Okay. This is almost too numerous to count. One, books somehow last 1,000 years.
They do.
That's interesting.
They do.
In a totally protected space, too. Just like a random library in Denver.
They do.
So, yeah, they're going to last 1,000 years. My ass.
They do.
Two, jet fuel.
Mm-hmm.
So, as much as I love the Harriers, jet fuel only has a viable life of 4 freaking years. And yet, they still manage to put jet fuel in the Harriers and fly them. Very impressive. Three, the fact that the way that they learn how to fly the Harrier is the fact that somehow the training module still has power after 1,000 years.
Nuclear power plants.
Oh my goodness. I mean, seriously.
This is technically my number four dislike, which is unrealistic expectations in general.
In general, right.
Yes.
Four, you have the nuclear device that they use to blow up the planet Cyclo. Obviously, that's not going to last 1,000 years. Yes, the nuclear material inside of it might have lasted 1,000 years, but the components around it that actually trigger it, no, not going to happen. And I'm sure there were more.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is my number four, so I'm just going to make it my number two now. So,
all right.
Whatever. But I mean, the other things were the Cyclos think the humans are completely useless, but then, oddly, John Travolta's character expects the one human he's like made his pet to figure out how to fly a Cyclo ship in like 9 minutes.
Like three minutes.
I will kill your girlfriend. And it's like, dude, like you're talking about a species you think is retarded, that is less intelligent than dogs. And then you're expecting him to pick up flying a spaceship.
They're actually smart enough, and this is my number three dislike, so I'm just skipping ahead to it because it still works with this. Somehow they're intelligent enough to learn how to fly a Harrier jet in 7 days. Booyah. We're freaking geniuses. We'll ignore the fact that the whole Right. We'll ignore the fact that the whole premise of the film and the reason that humanity is dying off is because they all have radiation sickness. And presumably their children are, you know, like mutants or something. And probably not that intelligent. But they're smart enough to learn how to fly Harrier jets. Apparently they mutated to be super geniuses with technology that's been dead for 1,000 years.
And it's like 14 days, really, to fly Harrier jets.
No, it wasn't even 14 days. It was 7 days.
It was 14.
No, it wasn't, because in the beginning, he's given 14 days to get the first half of the gold, right? So he gives him the first half of the gold, and then they go find the Harrier jets, which, by the way, seriously, they, you know, what? Anyway, they find the Harrier jets, and then he says, when he delivers the gold, first half of the gold, he says, I want the other half in 7 days, since, you know, you apparently didn't need as much time. And apparently the Cyclos are effing stupid, by the way, because he totally buys the Anyway, so yeah, he only had 7 days. Seven days
to teach him how to fly. Yeah, unrealistic expectations. Come on. All right.
Yeah, all over the place.
All right, let's go back to likes then.
Okay.
Okay, my number three like is actually the technology.
What part of it?
I like all the nifty little alien screens and the transportation technology and their cool little spaceships and their...
Yeah, okay.
The only thing I don't like is the guns, because I don't understand why they're shaped like that, but... Yeah.
And they somehow... Why do they... it's like they're Nerf guns. I mean, seriously, they shoot out golf balls of energy.
Which is
cool.
They don't
look like golf balls, but they literally shoot out like little orange, green globes. So what I think actually happened is that they were literally shooting people with not golf balls, tennis balls. And then they would, like, you know, digitize them, so they just looked like glowing balls of green.
Okay, well, maybe.
That's what I think.
Point is, I like the technology. I like all the, like, alien symbols and...
Yeah, except for the numbers. Did you notice that?
No.
The numbers, 10987654321 in Alien, were 10987654321.
So?
Seriously?
You're asking me to come up with likes for this movie that are absolutes. That is impossible. There are going to be things about every single one of these that are not all good.
Yeah, I'll totally give you their transportation things. The flying thingies were cool.
Yes, they were. And they had cool guns. They're like, ba-da, ba-da, and they're like, yeah, and then they exploded really fun. Yeah.
They really didn't.
Shut up. Just give me your number three like, jerk.
My number three like is the fact that they made a whole bunch of actors walk around in stilts for the movie.
In stilts?
I don't know if they were actually stilts, but like the giant platform shoes so that they're 9 feet tall and walk around like idiots. I just liked watching actors trying to look cool walking around on like 3 foot tall stilt platforms. And like somehow... You know, they're supposed to be natural, you know, and they're like walking around like robots because they're carrying around freaking giant 3 foot tall platforms on their feet. And
they,
so
yeah, they can't walk right.
Up. They can't walk right. So it's like, you know, the humans are running around all fast and speedy. But the Cyclos, who somehow managed to defeat them in 9 minutes, which was hilarious, by the way, like in the year 2000, presumably, they literally say that they defeated mankind in 9 minutes. But they can't even walk fast enough to catch up with them.
I know. Oh, they're so dumb.
I just like seeing John Travolta and Forest Whitaker in stunts because it was fun.
All right. Going back to then our dislikes, which is where are we? Oh, we switched, so it would be my number two, but you're number three. So what's your number three dislike?
My number three was, seriously, 7 days to learn how to fly a plane.
Oh, that was your number three?
That was totally my number three.
Oh, wow, we're flying through this.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. But that was totally number three. I was just sitting there going, what? I mean, yes, I know it's connected to the ridiculous expectations of contemporary technology lasting 1,000 years, but this was kind of separate. That's one plot hole, technology lasting that long, or not even technology, but books and everything.
Okay. And then
beyond that, the fact that people are somehow intelligent enough to learn how to fly a plane.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that then leads into my number two, which would be my number three, but whatever. Since that we're technically on threes, but since we skipped around, we're on my number two, which was the regression of mankind to moronic paganism and tribalism after 1,000 years.
1,000 years.
We suddenly went and we just forgot all culture, and we're now like running around thinking that the aliens are gods and.
No, we didn't think aliens were gods. We think ourselves, our previous selves were gods.
Yes, and well, not ourselves, our statues of ourselves.
Right.
That these statues and mannequins and things like that are frozen versions of gods.
Yes, and apparently we didn't save any books when we were run off into the hills. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't completely... In the original book, which was interesting, because they actually have things like doctors, and they seem to have some sort of society. But for whatever reason, they decided in the movie to just make us these, like, hoo, hoo, hoo. Like, and literally, they have people making monkey noises. And
like, I know, they're like,
screeching, and what? I was like, really? And yet, we can learn how to fly a plane in some days. So, I mean, it was just like this cross of, what the frack?
It was so dumb. I was like thinking, like, you know, maybe in 50,000 years, you know, maybe 5,000 at the earliest, but in 1,000 years we're really going to regress to caveman times.
Right.
Really?
It made no sense. I mean, I get that the cyclos, this is what was interesting too, is that the people out in the hills are technically not even threatened by the cyclos. Because the whole reason that we're able to blow up their planet is because of the whole gas issue. The gas that they breathe reacts to the radiation. So the only people that survive are out in the boonies where there is radiation. So we should be able to still have technology and, you know, at least freaking a water mill or a mill and water wheels and not necessarily power or whatever, but something resembling modern man, because we're not threatened out there.
But we don't.
But they don't. They're literally cavemen.
With horses, though. Well, some of them have horses.
I don't know.
And they can make walls with sticks.
And we still speak straight up English.
Yep. It's all... speed up... Yeah, whatever. Alright, moving on. Number four, like...
Forrest Whitaker.
Yes, that's my number four too.
I am a huge freaking fan of Forrest Whitaker, period.
The only good person in this whole movie next to Kim Coates.
Right, exactly, which was why my number four was Forrest Whitaker and Kim Coates. They were the only quality in this film. The rest of the movie is literally crap. Boring crap.
I love it because he's the only black guy in the movie that matters. And, you know, at least this time he's not a conniving, backstabbing...
Is he the only black guy?
No, you totally ruined my joke. Thanks.
Sorry.
I had a whole, like, I scripted it. I wrote the joke out, and you effed it up by interrupting me.
You may proceed.
No, it's too late now. I've totally ruined it.
Well, now I want to hear it.
I'm fine. I'm going to say it again. Okay. My joke is, I like Forrest Whitaker because he's the only black guy in the movie that matters, and at least he's not a conniving, backstabbing son of a... Wait, yes he is.
See, it's still funny.
It's only funny because it's now overacted and, yeah. But you ruined my joke.
You resemble John Travolta. Well done.
Screw you.
Seriously, only freaking black guy.
Well, there's another one, but he doesn't matter.
Where?
There's like a token black guy that's on the human side. He's got, like, dreadlocks, and he runs around, and I think he gets shot or something.
Oh, that's right. No, he lives through the whole movie.
Oh, well, he doesn't even have a name. He's just, like, there.
He's dreadlock guy.
I think he has, like, one line in the movie where he goes, ah! And then, yeah.
No, later, I think he even says, Carlo made it. Or Carlo did it. Or whatever. I don't know.
So he gets a line that doesn't make sense except for in a certain context. Great.
Yeah. Or Carlo came through. That's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, all right, anyway.
Yeah, but no, Forrest Whitaker is amazing. And he was actually fairly funny in this film, too. And I love that they were actually able to make his eye problem look like somehow it fit in the thing.
Because he's got a lazy eye.
It's called Ptosis or something. I don't remember. Anyway, so that's actually, I just want to bring up because it's not one of my likes or my dislikes, but the costume design was actually pretty cool.
No, whatever.
And the makeup kind of cracked me up too. The fact that there's only like, I'm trying to figure out if there's like a higher cast of Cyclos and a lower cast. Like
there
the
are,
workers
there are, because some of them have weird funky looking faces. Yeah.
Right. Some of them are more alien looking than others, which is interesting because apparently the ones that are of a higher cast are the more human like. So you think they would like look at the humans and be like, you guys are amazing. You're like, if you were taller, you'd be the perfect specimens of our species.
Yeah, but no.
But they don't.
It's Xenu, whatever.
Gosh.
All right, next dislike for you then.
Overacting.
yeah, lots of it.
I had to point out the fact that there were at least two people in the movie that, you know, were awesome. Well, relatively awesome based on what they were given. But literally everybody else is a strenuously painful overactor. I mean, everybody else.
Yeah. Even the guy that's in the Harrier they do the whole thing when he commits suicide by crashing into one of the.
I know. Why did that take 5 minutes to show?
I don't know. And why didn't he just shoot him with bullets?
Oh, no, he survived. I think he survived.
Yeah, he, like, ejects. But there's this whole ordeal where he's like,
pushing over again, and, oh, yeah.
And he says something. I don't remember what he says, because he's a communist, so whatever.
Totally.
Yeah, the overacting's pretty bad. Yeah. Okay, so then my next dislike, since we're getting close to the end here now, is the stupidity of the Cyclos.
They've
got to be the dumbest galactic empire-owning race in the history of galactic empire-owning species ever. Okay, let's break it down here, yo.
Let's do this.
Okay, so this is a species that brags that it invaded Earth and defeated us in 9 minutes, right?
9 minutes, right.
But yet 1,000 years later, they're completely shocked that human beings might be intelligent enough to figure out anything remotely complicated.
Yep.
Like, what? You.
Meanwhile,
they had an advanced civilization. Just because yours was 10 times more advanced and you whooped the crap out of them. Look, they flew in airplanes. That's pretty freaking big deal.
Right. Meanwhile, they don't put passwords into their really important technology like the teleportation system. They decide that the favorite food of people is rats because that's the first thing they
there's
eat.
There's a whole, like, 10-minute sequence where they let them go just to find out what they like to eat.
Right. And
then they're, like, so stupid they can't figure out, well, maybe they only like rat because that's all there is. You let them go in a freaking winter wasteland.
Right. They could eat whatever they want. What? Crazy?
Rocks? They could eat rocks, I guess. They're just so dumb. Like, couldn't they have figured out in the invasion what we like to eat?
Oh, I know. And then you just have other moments where you're just kind of going, okay, this is like supposedly a cutthroat, you know, kind of civilization where everybody stabs everybody's back.
It's uber capitalist.
Uber, like, I mean, it's definitely a condemnation of capitalism.
You can die if you fail the company. It's a rule. You can get killed.
Right. Which is kind of hilarious.
It is. But lots of people get killed that way, so it's good.
But meanwhile, you have, like, the bartender is surprised when the guy, like, okay, you know Amelia Bedelia?
No.
Who takes everything literally.
Okay, well, just go on. Go.
Okay, so she takes everything, so she's told to, like, make chicken, I don't know, she's told to iron the pot. Anyway, Amelia Bedelia, hilarious children's book, very funny. She takes everything literally. So, somehow, none of these people have been taught that even if you're living in a cutthroat world, you might want to consider taking people at their word. So, when they say things like, our bargain is good until you stop giving me good information. And then you expect them to somehow keep up to that bargain when they're gone and no longer keeping up, you know, the whole. Yeah. Anyway, the bartender seems genuinely surprised that he's getting stabbed in the back. And I'm looking at these people going, isn't that what you always do? I mean,
I know.
How is what? You're like this super advanced civilization based on a cutthroat business, and you're surprised by this? And they pull stuff like that constantly throughout the film, where people, like, do these, like, really obvious strategic business moves, and people are surprised by them.
Yeah, they're really dumb. Plus, they apparently thought that dogs were the dominant species
on the planet. Because there's a picture of a guy with a dog in the back seat, which, granted, is one of the most hilarious lines, you know, but really?
They're dumb. These are the dumbest. Really dumb. How did they manage to get the technology they have? They are as dumb as the people in Idiocracy.
I don't know.
Anyway, okay. So, do we still need to go to your dislike from you?
Oh, my last dislike?
No, because I still got one more left, too. So we got to go to the last like, then.
Oh, right. Okay.
Your last like, then.
The set.
Yeah, whatever.
No, I actually like the set.
You disagreed with me with the visuals.
I didn't like the graphics, the computer-generated stuff.
I know, but my visuals for me included everything.
Well, I didn't realize that. You kind of specified the... Anyway, the set was actually the vision of the Cyclo home planet, and the dome-looking thing was kind of cool. That I enjoyed. And I liked the interior spaces of the Cyclo buildings, even though they didn't really make sense. We apparently had like this weird alien, because supposedly they've taken over buildings, pre-existing buildings, and yet we had like these totally alien archways, and maybe they took over
a sci-fi convention,
a Bauhaus school or something. I mean, seriously, it's like this super industrial postmodern type of space. That apparently was built in downtown Denver. I don't know.
It's
right.
Weird.
It's a Scientology.
That's exactly it. Okay, yeah, the sets were good. I like the sets. I agree.
Yeah, they weren't terrible anyway. Well, I don't know.
Okay, well, my last like I just made up because I needed one. Because I don't really like anything else. And that is that, generally speaking, I'm okay with the plot. You're silent.
I
do you want to hear the rationale?
Yes, I think you're going to have to give me the rationale.
All right.
Before I have you committed.
Because I think it's entertaining to see mankind subjugated by humanoid aliens and then eventually whoop their ass. Because it makes me feel very American, only, you know, kind of the other way around, because we're not... It's the other way around, because at least this way we're not subjugating aliens. Yeah, just talk over me while I'm trying to finish my joke. God, you're such an ass.
Well, that's just like, if that's your reason, I mean, I get that it's not actually like, but you're saying it anyway, but I mean...
Because it's not. It's a cliche plot, I know, but like...
So
in the
cliche.
Course of things, at least like the plot was understandable, unlike subplots.
Right, and you had these hilarious moments, like the fact that they have the Harrier jets, so American, you know, and the fact that he sits down and he reads the Declaration of Independence and he talks about...
Oh, no, shh, don't ruin that. That's one of my dislikes.
So funny. It's so American.
Shut up.
And Fort Knox.
No, stop. This is what,
I'm sorry.
Give me your last dislike before you ruin my last joke.
My dislike is the biggest dislike you could possibly have about this movie. The fact that it's based on a book by L. Ron Hubbard, who created Scientology. It was then essentially made by the Scientological Church because it was totally John Travolta's love child. And apparently he bears aliens. And... the fact that it actually does go into some Scientological, bits and pieces here and there. And I don't appreciate any movies that are essentially vehicles for churches.
Okay.
I don't like that.
I don't know what the Scientological things are, but all right.
So supposedly it had, this was what was funny, when it was released, there were actually... allegations that it contained subliminal messages promoting Scientology.
Oh.
Highly advanced subliminal messages, which I don't actually believe, but I don't know. It's just, it's Scientology, and that's just creepy.
It is,
I mean, the book, more than the movie, is... very much based on Scientology Scientological beliefs. The Cyclos are actually supposedly these people who are run, their ruling class are actually psychiatrists. And
really?
Yes, in the book. Okay, so their ruling class, and I don't know if you know anything about Scientology, Scientology's biggest thing is that they hate freaking psychiatry. So the ruling classes are psychiatrists. They call their people cyclos because they think they're sociopaths or something, and that they need mental health. And somehow that creates a capitalist society. I don't know.
But they are psychos.
Well, they are psychos. They're total sociopaths. But L. Ron Hubbard's argument was more that if psychiatrists rule the world, this is what we'll turn into. Will become sociopaths if psychiatrists have their way.
Faulty causality.
Exactly.
Slippery slope. Okay, well, my last dislike are the annoyingly obvious allusions to American patriotism. Because they are so obvious. There's a scene where he reads the Declaration of Independence. Yay for America, yay. And there are constant the music is even at times like really American patriotic sounding. There's like total full on like John Williams from Saving Private Ryan type music. And then there are entire like speeches and discussions about freedom and like turning the main character into this really cheap version of William Wallace.
Yep.
And it just was really annoying. Like, I get it. But you could do it in a way that does not make my culture like reducible to stupid movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it pissed me off too. I mean, not probably to the extent that it pissed you off, but it was just it was so
obvious. Like of all things,
not
like,
even just obvious. It was such like a cheap shot. So it was like, oh, you know, we're gonna throw this in so people like the movie better, and it worked on me. It actually almost worked on me
until you realized what they were doing.
Scene. No, I knew exactly what they were doing, and I still got chills. And I was like, God damn it, those bastards.
Oh, no, I totally just thought, I rolled my eyes. I was rolling my eyes during that scene. I was like, really, this is the book that changes everything for him? Really?
How did it change everything?
Like, that was the catalyst for him.
Oh, yeah, for the character I was going for.
Yeah. It's the catalyst, the final
it
moment.
It was. Like, somehow, you know, and the fact that the guy took him to the library to somehow teach him how pitiful man was, and then he reads that, and he's like, oh, I get it. I get everything. I understand.
People, no, he doesn't. Pimps. You can't even read fast enough. They're only there a day.
No. Supposedly you read, like, a ton or something. I don't know.
The entire Constitution. Library. And, yeah. Like, the entire library.
He's never read any English before, and somehow our language managed to stay exactly the same for 1,000 years.
Apparently.
Ugh.
Although they do have new slang. Greener. The greener.
Right?
Yay for new slang. Yay.
That was it. I think that was the only piece of new slang that they used.
They say... Yeah, no, that's it.
Totally.
Yeah.
Pretty pitiful.
It's pretty pitiful. It's an awful movie. So, all right, those are our likes and dislikes, our 5x5s.
Yeah.
So now we have to give a grade.
Oh, crap. I always forget about this part.
So I'm actually giving it a C- because it's actually better than In the Name of the King and obviously better than The Kaiju, which is even worse than that. So it's only slightly better. So it's a very low C-.
Yeah, I'm just going to give it a C, to be honest.
Oh, you're being generous.
I think I am being generous. The Harrier's made up for everything. I'm sorry.
Americanism. Yay!
Why did you yell at me for talking about Fort Knox? That was one of the most hilarious things. I'm sorry.
When they go to Fort Knox and get the gold?
Yeah, it was so awesome.
And how easy it is for them to get into.
Exactly. My husband's going... The one thing I learned from this movie is that I should totally go rob Fort Knox.
Because it's so easy, you just need a drill.
Right. Well, granted, I'm not going to say it, but it was funny. It was
so dumb.
So dumb. But yeah, I'm just going to give it a C. Because, I mean, Forrest Whitaker kind of made up for it. Kim Coates kind of made up for it. The Harriers, though they didn't actually make up for it, were slightly awesome. And I like anything with, you know, jet scenes where, and I'm really hoping that they have, like, you know, in the Battleship movie, that they have, like, fighters fighting, you know, like, alien planes and stuff, because it was cool. Even though the Harriers can't technically even do, like, half of the moves that they did in the movie. I love the part when they're, like, sitting there, they're hovering inside a building and waiting.
It was funny. I know, it's like, what? They don't do that.
It made me giggle.
So crazy. All right, well, that is it for Torture Cinema this week. We will... Oh, I'm so tired.
I'm going to take a nap after this. That was rough. I'm trying to remember that. All right, yeah, so next time we do Torture Cinema, it will be Creep. That's the plan, since we were supposed to do it this week, but we had an impromptu shift of things. So next time, which will be next month, we will do Creep. And yeah, so we're going to, I guess, come right back to our reading and writing section and close out the show. So be right back after the naughty music.
Woohoo!
And we are back with our reading and writing section and our question of the week and all that fun, happy, good stuff. So what are you reading, Jen?
I'm reading a lot of political material.
Yay!
Yay! Because I'm a volunteer at the local Democratic headquarters, and yeah, so that's...
Oh, Democrat, because the Republicans are evil.
Evil.
I should bleep that all out.
If you're a decent freaking human being, you'll vote Democrat. Anyway, yeah, so that's pretty much all I've had time for, honestly. I'm writing material and I'm reading material, so yeah.
Ugh. Oh, well, fantastic. So
on overload.
I am reading the last section of Politics of Friendship by Jacques Derrida, which is yay, fun, Derrida. Woo! And then for my sci-fi class, I'm actually reading Alien Encounters, Anatomy of Science Fiction by Mark Rose.
Which you've decided that you might disagree with at this point in time. Didn't you revise your opinion on that?
On what?
The second book.
What second book?
The one you just mentioned.
I haven't read this one.
Oh, you haven't? Oh.
No, I read the Suvin last week.
Oh, I see. That's what it was. Never mind. Ignore me.
Yeah. And I found myself disagreeing with a lot of his stuff, but that's because I think Suvin... He's funny because he tries so hard to... It's because in the beginning of his book, he says science fiction gets a bad rap from the literary types, and they're just really pretentious, and they just don't want to think that there might be good stuff in sci-fi. And so what does he do? He goes and does his own very pretentious reading of sci-fi.
Gotcha.
So it's a good book, and there's a lot to learn from it, but he's wrong about a lot of stuff. So he thinks Kafka is science fiction. Yep, but we won't go into that. So yeah, so that's really what I'm reading. I'm reading some other novels and stuff, but I haven't finished anything yet. I have lots of things I should be reviewing this weekend. So yeah, that's it.
And we don't have any time for writing, do we?
Not right now. I'm writing, but I mean, just not finished with anything. So it's really kind of silly for me to just talk about stories that I still have work to do on. But yeah.
Well, at least you're working on them, and that's all that matters.
Yay! All right.
Hey.
All right, so our question of the week is...
What are you doing to prepare for the coming apocalypse?
Yeah, what are you doing?
It's very important.
I mean, a contingency plan.
I'm glad. And I'm not talking about the zombie apocalypse. Although, if you want to plan for that too, then you should. No, I'm just talking about the general apocalypse. Not in the religious viewpoint, but, you know, the end of the world.
Okay, yeah, I've got both.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah.
The religious one and the zombie one?
Yeah.
How about a capitalist downfall of our economic system?
I got that too.
Oh.
I got them all covered.
Nuclear winter?
Covered.
Oh, well then.
Nuclear winter is really easy because you basically can't survive that. But my plan is to just have as much physical excitement and fun before I die.
My plan is booze and cigarettes. And that's all I'm saying about that.
Oh, well, that's lame.
No, I can rule the world.
I was thinking of getting some, like, beautiful women together and having good fun.
Oh, well, you do that.
Yahtzee and Scrabble.
Yahtzee, Scrabble, and Beautiful Women. Sounds like a plan.
Could do, you know, Strip Scrabble.
Strip Scrabble. Yeah. And hopefully you'll still be listening to the Skiffy and Fanty Show.
In the end of times. Yeah. All right. So if you want to send your answer, you can send an email to
skiffyandfanty@gmail.com.
You can voicemail us at
206-203-1686.
Comment at
skiffyandfanty.wordpress.com.
Or try to send us a tweet at
twitter.com/skiffyandfanty.
So those are the ways to contact us. We'd love to hear from you, as always. So if you don't comment, we will send government agents to your house. So
indeed. And they will kill you.
Well.
Or at least force you to comment. I mean, if they killed you, that would be kind of counterproductive.
Because then we wouldn't even have the listeners. So, yeah.
We can't afford to lose this shit.
All right, so we will see you guys next week, which the plan is for that to actually be an interview with a very interesting project, and there should be a giveaway.
Yay!
Intent, a really big, awesome giveaway, like really big.
That sounds exciting. Can I enter?
No.
Well, crap.
All right, guys, so we will see you next week.
Bye-bye!
Autobots, roll out!